courtesy of the people at Fortune, with a debate on initial coin offerings.
Welcome to Fortune Tech Debate, where we debate the issues of the day in 2 minutes. Today we're talking about initial coin offerings, or ICOs, which are one of the hottest crazes in financial technology right now. Let's put 2 minutes on the clock. All right, Jeff, take it away.
Crazes, that's exactly the word I'd call these things.
It's a mania.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything like this. Companies raising tens of millions by offering digital currencies.
So around in seconds.
Yep. Might not even be a company on top of that. You just raise the money, promise you're going to build something, issue these currencies, and boom, you got millions. It's fascinating from a finance perspective, fascinating from blockchain, but one problem, a scam.
It's a scam? Well, hold on. I don't think it's a scam. Sure, there might be some scams in there, but this is a really innovative approach to financing your project. I mean, this is getting so many projects off the ground that wouldn't normally have an avenue to get that kind of
off the ground's one word for it. You went to an ICO convention last week, and you yourself
I did.
Everyone in there is speculating on this stuff. Is anyone actually using these coins for anything besides speculation?
Very few, admittedly, at first, but the hope is, and the promise of this technology is that this is going to re-architect the entire web. I mean, you're going to create applications that are decentralized. You're not going to have these big sort of power brokers like Facebook and Google that are acting as gatekeepers anymore. It's an open sort of...
And ways to raise money. I saw what Chris Dixon, the famous VC, wrote. This is really interesting. New way to raise money. You know, let people have a piece of a company. The problem is, though, like 99.9% of these things are scams. It's supposed to be a pump and dump thing. You say, I'm going to build something off of Bitcoin and Ethereum. No one really knows what you're talking about. But, oh my God, you can invest in these things right now and the tokens will have value. Boom. These things smell like a pump and dump scam from a mile away.
People are making a lot of money right now.
Oh, they are.
For sure.
And people are going to lose a lot more money very soon.
They will. However, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing that there is this bubble going on, that there is this mania. It is allowing a lot of investment to pour into the space. It's allowing these projects to get funded. That's going to be really important.
5 years from now, sure. Right now, stay away. It's a scam.
It's a scam. Well, I'm going to say that I think it's...
Well, that was, again, courtesy of the people at Fortune Media Group, Fortune Magazine, and I always wonder where the person who says maybe the bubble is a good thing has his money. We're going to use that as a launching pad to get into the next topic, which was talk about volatility. When this news came out during the week, you saw some pretty big swings, too. The cryptocurrency world is breathing a sigh of relief after U.S. regulators finally weighed in on initial coin offerings, saying that companies which raise money through the sale of digital assets must adhere to federal security laws. It's a step in the right direction for the industry, as before yesterday's announcement, it was common knowledge that ICOs have been enveloped in a regulatory gray area, said Ron Chernesky, who is in the process of issuing tokens to be used in his trading platform, InvestFeed Incorporated. One of the most telling pieces in the SEC announcement was an acknowledgement that some ICOs are completely fair investments and some are not. Well, how does that work out? It depends on the facts and circumstances of each transaction. It's clear, though, that being a virtual organization selling securities based on a distributed ledger or the blockchain technology in exchange for other digital currencies doesn't exempt you from security laws. Steve Obey, a partner at the law firm's Jones Day, said the legal standard called the Howey test. Everybody would be familiar with the Howey test.
Yeah, the language here, we need a list of words to define for the public out there, because the terms are like forking around and things like that. It's always interesting.
Well,
it creates a laugh, but unfortunately, the laugh is on you.
Well, we were trying to do that right as we speak, and you just have to keep listening show after show, and you will, as we are, becoming more familiar with these. Investors and people buying the ICOs, initial coin offerings, will have to ensure that whatever they purchase will be compliant with U.S. security laws, and potentially you'll have more ICOs outside the U.S. that will not take us as investors. So, in other words, it isn't just the people that are offering the ICOs, it's potentially the people that buy the ICOs that are in a legal limbo or legal jeopardy, and it also speaks to why many of these may become dominant in Asia and exclude those in the U.S. from participating.
This is the real point, because where are these ICOs located? I mean, are they liable for tax laws in the United States? Are the IRS going to call them in as a corporation? are they offshore? Are they going to be in Switzerland or China or India? This takes and then those people receiving monies, are they subject to IRS investigation, audit, and et cetera?
Well, those are questions the SEC would like to answer here in the U.S. Whether they get answered in Indonesia or China or Burundi, who knows?
But they have been illegal, though, in the U.S.
Let's bring Lee into this. Have you been following this story?
Absolutely. And let me just say, I'm a bit of an anarcho-capitalist. I think that any involvement from the bureaucracy in technology is a bad thing and stifles innovation. On the other side, I see value in some form of control in terms
Lee, I'm sorry. You're making a good point, but I cannot restrain myself from jumping in here. As far as the government not getting involved, it was DARPA, the government-funded investments for defense research that
CIA.
Created radar, that created the satellite communications, that created the Internet, that has created a lot of the health. So it really was the central government taking taxpayer dollars and sending them out wherever they determine that created these things. I would just say that I wish the taxpayers would get their return on their investment, but that's
charge,
a different story.
Let's charge the
so, yes.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. You bring up a valid point. We never reap the reward. We just pay for it. And I think that if a free market were allowed to exist, there'd be far greater innovation than whatever some central oligarchy determines is the project to work on.
Oh, I don't agree with that. The premise of that would mean we wouldn't have an interstate highway system at this point.
No, we would.
Oh,
yeah, how do you know what innovation? How do you know what innovations would occur? I love Dash's example of how they're creating their general fund.
The term
that to me represents a great model for how government should function.
Mm-hmm.
When you print money, you put 10% in a general fund, and that funds the projects of the government based upon how the people vote, not about how the central POTUS interprets it or some other organization that isn't attached to the will of the people.
Yeah, just to interject here, I've said maybe on the radio show sometime in the past 12 or 14 years, but I know I've said it to some friends, it would be a greater democratic process than voting for candidates to be able to allocate my tax return to different sectors of the budget. Like if we had 10 sectors and I wanted this percent to go to the Defense Department, this percent to go to health education and welfare, although I know where most people would put it, they'd give 80% to the defense industry. And
oh, my God, yeah, the biggest waste of all.
But I'm taking us down too much of a digression here. Mm-hmm. So how we have this difference of opinion between you and Augie, and I probably fall somewhere between the two of you, and Alex, I think, probably falls more towards Lee. But
we need both regulation and free market.
Okay, so Alex is, in his youthful wisdom, is agreeing with me. So
we need both. It's okay.
But what does this mean right away to the people that either want to participate in an ICO, or what do you think it does to the marketplace in general for innovations now that the SEC has weighed in on this?
That's to you.
Oh, okay, all right. It's interesting. I think that it's probably going to temper the fraudsters, which could be beneficial. On the other side of that, what I was hoping was that a blockchain could be implemented to track the fraudsters. So basically, much like how open source software gets developed, when you put a backdoor in, you get shunned from the group because you're of no value. You're of negative value to the development, right? The fraudsters who provide ICOs that turn into, you know, nothing or some form of Ponzi, right? Those people are labeled and any other interaction in the marketplace would get ignored because they're simply high risk.
Who's going to enforce that?
The people, the will of the people.
It's already being done.
Well,
will
of the people is a nebulous term, or phrase, but how does that become, you know, if everybody's responsible, nobody is. So where is the ultimate responsibility?
So the responsibility is if your interactions are tracked on a blockchain, then there's implicit auditable proof of your behavior throughout history.
But who enforces?
I'm saying, like, the enforcement occurs dynamically. If you have an investor...
Lee, I think this is where we need to stop for a little explanation. When you say that it can be seen through your history, why is that?
Yeah, because the interactions that you put forth in the community as far as your ICO and your nefarious behavior are tracked in some form of public ledger, like the blockchain, that's infallible. You can't hack it. You can't go back and change it. You were naughty. Here's the proof.
Just take a sidebar here to explain to the audience that might be just tuning in for the first time what the public ledger, what the blockchain does.
Amounts to, yeah.
You want me? Sure.
Yeah, in 10 seconds.
It's 10 seconds. It's an encrypted block of interactions, of contracts, much like Ethereum, where you see absolute, explanations of behavior on anything, in any company, in any individual, interaction.
So, Lee, it's advertised, right? It's advertised. It's out there. It's stated. These are the people to avoid. Beware of this. Beware of that. And they're put out in a form that where the publicity will reward to people the precaution.
Like, I would say that anybody that I work in a healthcare office, and I know that almost everyone that calls for an appointment has gone on Google and looked at our reviews. So it's the availability of information in one hand, but also what Lee is talking about is what I think I said the first time Leonard was here. It's as though you held a dollar bill and the dollar bill told you everything it had ever bought since its existence. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so we're coming up into the last segment of the show here, and we're going to look at an example, I think, of someone that is taking advantage of this situation and is doubtful that they will face any consequences for this, but we will find out coming up. On the other side, how does Floyd Mayweather work into the world of cryptocurrency? The Bitcoin girl doesn't like regulations to interfere, and neither does Floyd Mayweather. And I want to thank Alex for sending this to me either last night or this morning. When you're trading 24/7, time has no meaning. But I saw this Instagram picture. It shows Floyd Mayweather looking out the window of, I assume, a private chartered flight with $250,000 spread out. Someone else did the calculations, not me. And the message on the Instagram said, Floyd Mayweather, champion predictions. I'm going to make a dollar sign for the S, HITT, dollar sign for the O, N.
And he's not forking around.
So money on August 26th. That's referring to the fight with Conor McGregor and the $100 million payday that is in store for him then to help him pay for his, what is it, $20 million tax bill that he has not paid yet? So, obviously, Floyd is not a stickler for details when it comes to the financial world. But then the second thing is, I will paraphrase Floyd here. I'm going to make a shizzle ton of money on August 2nd on STOX, stocks.com ICO, initial coin offering. And then he hashtags hashtag STOX, hashtag Mayweather, hashtag crypto, hashtag cryptocurrency, hashtag blockchain, hashtag Ethereum, hashtag. So somebody at least And probably even Floyd, because he's a relatively accomplished businessman for sure, has put this out that has, at the time that Alex sent me this picture of whoever screenshotted the Instagram, it had 453,845 likes. And he has how many, let's see, how many followers of that he has? About 17 million followers. So talk about a pump and dump of a penny stock. Talk about some abuse of the information out there. We have a situation where I would say pretty much a majority of those 17 million fans have not been listening to the Henry Raines Show and Augie and Alex and Lee and Leonard for the last month.
There you
probably
go.
Don't have the understanding that people that do have from listening to this. But they will find stocks.com, and they will find a way to put money into stocks.com. And Floyd Mayweather, which it probably is very possible, may already hold his tokens. Is that a possibility, Lee, that he already has been given tokens or set aside tokens for his promotion?
Yeah, I have no idea.
But I mean, there's nothing to keep that from happening, right?
No, you're right. There's nothing to keep that from happening.
This is more speculation.
So
I got a couple questions.
Well, wait a minute.
All right.
So this is going to hit the market August 2nd after the Bitcoin fork.
Right.
There's going to be this new coin offering. People now, 500,000 that liked it when you include the Facebook likes, 17 million people that follow him have access to this. What, and anybody, not just a stock investor who has to go through a stock broker, can put money into this. He stands to, he's right. He's going to make a shizzle ton of money off it.
But all of the clean hands in the world know that laundering's been involved, and there's scandals around that, aren't there, Lee?
I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
The laundering's been involved in the Bitcoin situation. Dirty money, in other words. So, you know, however you do.
Well, the fungibility of fiat and cryptocurrency makes me not really care what it has or hasn't done. And frankly, again, going back to, you know, self-regulation, if we can somehow resolve the problem of making bad people known implicitly, then we don't need a regulation. We don't need anti-money laundering rules. We don't, frankly, need almost any rules at all.
So you're
oh, wait a minute. Oh. Let me
wow,
take you on here, Lee.
Amazing.
I'm sorry.
He's right.
So Floyd Mayweather gets his hundreds of thousands of followers to put money on this. He cashes out right away, leaves them holding the bag. There shouldn't be any consequences for him?
No. The consequences are dynamic. Again, don't follow him.
Yes,
don't put your
take.
Money in. If you do, it's your risk.
Exactly.
Buyer beware.
But what if they win? What if stocks goes big and they won? Because this is good. You could look at it two ways. This is good for crypto or bad. I think this is good. It's making us mainstream.
Ultimately, though, this is playing money against money and money against value for more money. What does this really produce? Because if people don't invest in things that actually are produced beyond money or exchange currencies or whatever you want to call it, what value is there?
Well, the value is easy to see. The value is in the lack of value. Over time, as people learn that there's no value in it, those types of interactions with society will taper off and just become extinct.
Well, we're coming up towards the end of the hour, and we want to take some time to not just thank Lee, but remind people where they can get involved in cryptocurrency in a safe and secure way. And that's at the Bite Federal ATMs around the Tampa Bay area. Floyd Mayweather is not an investor in your company. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So no Floyd Mayweather involved here. Lee, one of the co-founders, Leonard, you've heard him the past couple weeks on the show, too. Alex sees many people participating at the Bitcoin ATM. And as far as the actual transactions, can you verify that no technical glitches have not happened, and people are secure when they're participating at the ATM in your store.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Well, that, yeah, the glitches happen and everything, but we answer calls 24/7, 365, and we solve problems no matter what it takes.
Okay, we'll give people that number too in just a moment so that they can find out more. Maybe they even would like to host a Bitcoin ATM in their business, and that is a definitive possibility, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. We're always looking for hosts.
Okay, so let's give some contact information, then we'll give you the locations of the ATMs in our area. So the website is bytefederal.com, B-Y-T-E-federal.com. And you can find a map of the locations. You can find out a lot about the company there, and including the phone number that is posted there, but we'll give you that in just a moment. You can follow them on Facebook, too, facebook.com/bytefederal. The phone number to find out more, especially if you'd like to host one of these ATMs, is 941-586-2954. That's 941-586-2954. And the location, starting close to the studio and working out from there, right down the street at Cortez Road and 34th Street in the Shell Station, there is a Bitcoin ATM from Byte Federal, actually a two-way one that you dispenses cash as well as allows you to buy Bitcoin and Dash currency. Then you can also, in the Sarasota area, go to Honore and Clark Road to the Marathon Station there, and there is a location there. In St. Pete, on Treasure Island at CJ's, there is a Byte Federal Bitcoin ATM. At Ferg's near the Tropicana Field is a Bitcoin ATM. On Channelside in Tampa at Ferg's Live. And finally in Englewood, what was the location in Englewood?
At Placida Road next to the New Fall Inn at the Citgo gas station.
All right. So conveniently located, and you can get started there. And in the future, we'll tell you a little bit more about the actual steps you take at the Bitcoin ATM. We have in the past. You can look at the past shows. And, Lee, so you've got the two currencies. What's going to happen after the Bitcoin split? What kind of currencies will be available at the Byte Federal ATMs? And do you have any other currencies that you see being traded and
promoted
at the ATMs?
Well, we'll definitely provide both bitcoins, both sides of the fork. And, you know, currently we have Dash available. There's plans to enable Litecoin and also, what is it? We were talking about IOTA and Ethereum.
Lee, let me ask you a question. Since the word Dash is being used to define a coin, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's also the name of ISIS and ISIL.
No, they spell it differently.
Well, but it sounds to the...
He doesn't have any control over that.
No, I know. Well, why do they call it Dash?
It stands for digital cash.
Uh-huh. Okay.
See, there was an answer.
That's what I wanted to hear.
All right. So, Lee, thank you for making time for us this afternoon. And, again, that phone number, if you want more information on hosting a Bitcoin ATM, 941-586-2954. And I hope we get to talk to you again soon.
Thank you. It was great. Take it easy.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, that was fun.
So, Alex, so how are you positioned for the fork that's coming up on August 1st?
Well, what I did was, since everybody's dumping all their altcoins right now for the Bitcoin, right now Bitcoin has 51% dominance. It usually only has 40%.
Of the market.
Yeah, the market. So now it's just, so the market's basically dead. I just keep buying every day. Even if it's only $5, you know. Because okay. $5 gets you a couple hundred coins.
Which one?
Wager is good. Wager is good. It's only 7 cents.
Okay, so help the audience out. Burst. What exchange do you buy these on?
I recommend fully the Poloniex and the Bittrex exchange. It's Poloniex.com and then it's Bittrex.com.
Okay, how do you spell those?
Poloniex is Poloniex.com and Bittrex is Bittrex.com. And those are safe. You know, nothing's guaranteed, but you probably won't have to worry about the founders running off with your money on these two exchanges.
And so when Augie goes home to get set up on this, what are the steps that he's going to take?
It literally takes less than a minute. All you need is your email, and your email address and a password, and you're in.
Do you have to upload a picture of your driver's license or anything?
Nope. It literally less than a minute.
And what's the minimum to start?
$1.
Wow.
That's why this is so lucrative to everybody. Either way, they're old
That's
or young.
That's better than betting on DraftKings.
And remember,
I pay for your show for a month, for a year.
And remember, even the market's bad right now. Some coins are still blowing up. I bought a coin the other day, 42 cents on this go. Now it's almost $1.50. So you know you can make money even in the bad markets in this.
Okay.
It's 24 hours.
So I'm going to go to Alex for some free advice here. Okay. I've got him
trapped.
And full disclosure on my part, too. I'm not holding Bitcoin. I'm not holding Ethereum. I'm not trading on those markets, although Alex has told me in the past, and I've looked at them, because there are some that are intriguing to me. In particular, IOTA is very intriguing to me. And this is not a recommendation for anybody else. And as far as money, I would say as a relative speaking, it might be the equivalent of somebody's monthly rent that I have in cryptocurrency, but as a portion of what I have in stocks and other, it's a fraction. So I don't dump into that. I'm holding Litecoin, and it's I can see the support in the chart, but it's lagging, I should say, as Bitcoin has started to come back. So what do you see for Litecoin, not just immediately after the fork, but as a competitor to Bitcoin?
Well, Litecoin, I like Litecoin, but I bought Litecoin at 20. I seen Litecoin at $1, and I should have bought it. But I bought it at 27. I sold at 50. The reason Litecoin is a great coin, but they're moving slow, but they're moving surely. Like sooner or later, they're gonna have transaction. You do transactions anywhere in a store with Litecoin because it's fast. So let's
refer back to what we were talking about earlier. The transaction cost is lower.
Yeah.
The transaction speed is faster. They've already done their SegWit activation.
Yes, they're the first.
And they have a centralized, more centralized developing core.
Yeah, and they're moving very slow. But the thing is about Litecoin, it's a long term hold. You can sit there and buy $1,000 worth of Litecoin and buy and sell every day and make a lot of money. But to me, this is long term. It's too long for me.
Which, as I've traded somewhat successfully on options before, and this thing, I thought I was going to be able to do this with the cryptocurrency. But if you have to have a job, which you said, I can on my phone, I can see what's happening in the stock market,
right,
and I can react to that. But I can't see this when I'm sleeping,
yeah,
and
yeah,
everybody in Asia is driving
so,
the price.
Yeah.
So that's why for the reasons Alex said, is why I went with Litecoin.
But you can put buy orders and sell orders in, so while you're sleeping, the market moves for you.
Yeah.
That's very good to do, too.
I know. You can have limit orders, but those will work against you, too, as some of those people when the Ethereum crashed down to 10 cents found out.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
No. Anyway, Augie, we got to get you. You got to put your going out
I'll
to dinner money into this,
yeah,
so you can get a little bit of skin
in
the game.
Maybe I'll give a chunk to Alex here and let him do it for me, and he can split the gain.
People do every day, you know, and it's growing. This is growing. Everybody's wants in now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, be careful what you're saying on the radio with that about compensating Alex, but I'm sure he would, the goodness of his heart, and you would share goodness right back. You'd share the love with
him. We can help each other.
Yeah,
brothers.
Sure.
All right. Well, we have gone through another hour.
It is an interesting thing, and I have to. I've been listening a lot, which I'm not good at, but I've learned a great deal. I'm very, very skeptical, as the conservative side of me does. I'm a fiscal conservative. I'm a social liberal. I want money to benefit the people, not to screw them over.
Well, this is it then. This is crypto.
Well, we were going to continue this. We'll be back next Saturday at 12:05 with more of this, and we will know the outcome of whatever happens on August 1st and how it shook out in the cryptocurrency market. Been listening to the Henry Rain Show. Thanks to Augie. Thanks to Alex Solis. You can find Augie on Twitter if you go to @ Henry Rain Show, because I will be putting his Twitter handle in our tweets. And thanks to Lee Hansen for joining us from Byte Federal. We'll be back next week.
Thank you.
CIA, the blood of the Crips and the KKK. But if you don't have love for your own race, then you only leave space to discriminate. And to discriminate only generates hate. And when you hate, then you're bound to get irate. Yeah, madness is what you demonstrate. And that's exactly how anger works.
and operate. Man, you gotta have love to set it straight. Take control of your mind and meditate. Let your soul gravitate to the love, y'all.
People killing, people dying, children hurt and even crying. Can you practice what you preach and what you turn the other way?